I got the thumbs up. We are ready to go. Thank you so much for being here and welcome all of you. Today is Tuesday, February 17th, 2026, and this is the City Council Study Meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan, which is outstanding city council. We appreciate all of you. And our staff, thank you so much to each of you that are here with us and to all who aren't here with us who are working hard to make sure South Jordan is amazing. We're going to open our meeting tonight with a convocation by our Director of Planning and Economic Development, Mr. Brian Priest.
Our kind and gracious Father in Heaven, we're indeed thankful for the opportunity that we have to meet here and to discuss the affairs of South Jordan City. We're so feel so blessed to be a part of this great city and helping it to run and to grow and to become better. We ask you to help us that we can have thy spirit to help us in these decisions we are to make. And we say these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Rachel, can I ask you a favor? Can you finish this for me? I'm sorry, I'm in the council meeting. Happy to call.
Way to delegate.
It's mayor related.
Yeah, no good. No, I'm
sure. It's not like you're text my kid. It's
not. No.
Thank you.
For you for delegating.
As they were calling right now, and I'm like, oh, this is actually something we need to answer, but I can't answer. So anyway, we'll get there. And now Don's phone is ringing, and it's the same thing. So, let's go on to our coordination. Anybody have anything you'd like to coordinate? I mean, there's a lot going on at the legislative session, as we know.
It's been boring.
So boring.
Yeah, so boring.
I just go, Governor. Sorry.
I was just going to say, on the legislative note, it's actually been pretty slow in comparison to usual.
I know.
They've numbered more bills, but they've been at a slow pace. They've been, their leadership has noted it several times. So expect, and I sent an email to all of our department heads today, expect that in starting this week, it's going to get frenetic early and stay very frenetic till the end. There's like 14 days left.
We've got big bills that haven't been released yet.
That's the scary part. I mean, big stuff.
And infrastructure. And
there's a couple that are were just numbered this week or the end of last week or haven't even been numbered yet.
Well, there's some of them that I'd be more than happy if they don't get to discuss.
So, we were looking.
Okay,
I mean, if they get slid under the bus.
Some of us started our text string about the bills in committee this morning at
6:45. Yeah.
I saved you guys a little bit later. But and that bill died in committee. Great job reaching out. Appreciate you all.
House Bill 470.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it was the
chimed in. I'm
Representative Ward's bill on building inspections.
I texted Jordan.
Poor guy. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
It's really funny. You guys will text, and I'll get a text. Can you tell your council I'm with them on this? And I'm like, yeah. Sounds like they've already reached out to you. So thank you for all you're doing.
Everybody's working really hard. Ryan is there all the time and is a trusted resource. And we've got a lot of folks making sure that they represent. The council's putting in a lot of time. We've got thank you to all of the staff who weighs in on the things that are specific to what you're doing. The chiefs have been there, and we just people are working. But thanks for all the work happening at the session. Does anybody have anything else to coordinate? No? Okay. Our regular meeting. Looking forward to our annual report from the Arts Council. I'm just going to ask, is Janelle in here? Oh, there she is. Sorry. Do you know who's presenting that?
It's the chair of the Arts Council, Council Shan Lloyd.
Oh, Shan is the chair now. Yeah. That's what I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't positive who the chair is now. Shan, he is one of my two appointments to the Arts Council.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll turn to you to introduce that, of course, and then, yeah, just wondered. And then we have one public hearing we've got that's coming back to us, amending a section that with prohibitions in the ADU floating zone of the code, and Joe Moss will present that one to us. And And we're just getting word that we might get some public comment that's, Jason's out trying to help give a little bit of accurate information to, got some folks who have some, maybe some inaccurate information, some not sure information. And it,
relative to this?
No, relative to secondary water shares. And so some folks that, pretty whipped up, were just, I'm just finding out. I got a text on my way down the stairs. Saying I would come to the meeting tonight because I have an interest in that, but I'm sick, but how can I watch the meeting? And I said, that's not on our agenda. Is it? Is somebody coming to talk about it? And she said, oh, a whole group, and they're pretty whipped up about it. So the information she shared, I said, I'm not sure that's entirely accurate. So Jason's out trying to just try to help give some more insight as to what that is, and we'll see what that looks like. So,
are you considering making a clarifying statement up front?
I think we'll see what Jason comes back and says, and if the person he's talking to is able to get a hold of others or not. And then we'll kind of decide how do we approach
this, the cost, do we know?
Yeah.
So the city owns several shares, and we have the option on an annual basis to lease some or all of those shares. And as you know, the governor and state legislature has asked for ways to help save the Great Salt Lake, and one of those ways is by leasing those shares to go to the Great Salt Lake. So we have been exploring our opportunities to help that by potentially leasing some of our shares to the Great Salt Lake, and while we have that application with them, we're still waiting to hear. So in the meantime, we have put a pause on leasing shares, not knowing if some or all of our shares might qualify to be leased to the Great Salt Lake. We have worked with many property owners to try to find them other shares to lease. We are not the only people that lease shares. There could be other residents. Maybe they have 10 shares, need 3, and so they lease their shares. So we've been trying to help residents to match that. The misinformation is that we have prohibited anyone from leasing any shares. That is not true. Mm-hmm. People can go lease shares from anybody. They can buy shares. They can do that just like we do. We're currently have put a pause while we try to find if we might be able to help fulfill that request. If we can't fulfill that request, then we can certainly look to lease our shares like we have done in previous years to individuals.
How many shares does the city have?
I don't know, because we have them in all the canals, and so I'd have to have somebody go pull that, but I could get that.
Dozens? Five?
It's lots, yeah.
Okay.
And that's because we may need those shares in the future.
Absolutely.
For our drinking water. We don't know, so we put them to good use now, and knowing that use could change.
I'm sorry, another point of clarification then. So I don't have secondary water. Those who have secondary water yearly step up and say, I'd like to lease some water. Is this like
those who own shares don't need to do that. Those who lease shares, they might lease them from us this year. They might lease them again from us next year. They may have leased them from us for the last 15 or 20 years. Yeah. They're not obligated to lease from us, nor are we obligated to lease to them.
So every year it could shift.
It could.
Got it. Okay.
And the understanding that was sent to me from this resident said that the Weirmaster announced to everybody that uses secondary water that the city is removing the ability for them to lease shares. And people are very angry.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So we'll probably have some passion come tonight. But
okay. Clarity will help.
We'll do what we can to help with
questions. Is there like a clearinghouse some kind of entity that kind of supervises or helps people with these water shares or regulates it?
I don't know if there's a Ray. Are you Ray's my other expert on this? Do you want to step up here, Ray? The question is there a central clearinghouse for that? My understanding is that there's not. If I had shares and you wanted to lease them, we could work out a deal.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if there was a, you know, some kind of resource we can say, you know, go here, they can help find you water.
There are water brokers out there
that
they can reach out to, but I think it's more the purchase of water shares. We were able to find a majority of shares in all but one canal to help residents in the city, and so it's just really one canal that you can find water shares to help them out.
So those are the people who will be here.
Yeah.
And like I said, we still haven't heard on our application. It's possible that before water's even in the canals, we will have heard and we could still use that. Yeah.
So there's a bit of misinformation that's been shared with some of the residents that if it were truly accurate, the city saying you can't lease water, yeah, people would get upset. That's not what the city said. Okay, so just working on that. So anyway, that just literally came up as I was walking down the stairs. So just so you know, just finding out about that. So we'll see what that looks like. And those, the Arts Council report and the public hearing item, and those are the only agenda items on the regular session besides public comment and things like that. So anybody has, okay, if there's no questions, we'll just move on because we're very excited to have our friends from Y2 Analytics here. We always appreciate when they come and cross our fingers that they bring good news. So I'm going to turn to our assistant city manager, Don Tingey, and he's going to introduce this, and then we'll invite Kyrene and the team, everybody up.
Okay. It, like you say, it's our annual survey time, and we completed the survey at the beginning of the year, and Kyrene and Tatiana are here to showcase the events. I think they might be second to Fred Philpott and come and talk to the council on a regular basis. So
we might be. I'll take that. That's good company.
It is.
Well, thanks for giving us some time this evening, folks. Excited to share our survey results with you as always. Starting at the top with our sort of high-level key findings, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty. Overall, we still see a large majority of South Jordan residents expressing a high degree of satisfaction with their quality of life in the city and the direction the city is heading, and how it compares now to 5 years ago. There are a little bit of, or there are a few shifts that I will call out when we get there. That we tend to see on the heels of competitive municipal election cycles, or when we are refreshing the panel, we tend to see some movement there. So we'll talk a little bit about those things. We do see a shift in the share of residents who say the city is headed in the right direction versus the wrong direction. There's some movement there. And we're also just seeing a longer term, more invested group of residents respond to the survey this year compared to last year, where we had a few high watermarks with that panel refresh. So nothing I'm terribly concerned about right now, but you know, we'll pay attention to trends moving forward, make sure there isn't something that's calling out a negative effect on quality of life overall. We do see an improvement in the share of residents who say they approve of the job that all of you are doing as elected officials. That's actually a pretty substantial increase. We're up 10 points from where we were last year. So really excellent ratings overall. Residents are highly satisfied with how their tax dollars are being spent, and city services on the whole continue to receive high marks. Across all of our city services, the average rating is a 73 on that 0 to 100 scale. Most of those city services are above a 70. On that scale, we have a few outliers, a few of our scapegoats. I apologize every year and I'll do it again. But we'll talk a little bit more about those as well. The common themes that residents are concerned about continue to be growth and its impacts on traffic especially. Some concerns about housing and development as well, but really growth and traffic are those notes that residents keep hitting in these open-ended responses. We're hearing it loud and clear, certainly. And then we have our series of questions about communication with the city. The share of residents who are directly contacting the city remains at about 30%, 31%. That's consistent with what we saw last year, and that is lower than we've seen in years past, again, suggesting that residents are able to resolve most of their issues or find answers to most of their questions through the city website. Those residents who are reaching out tend to be contacting about public works. The share of residents who are contacting the city about code enforcement has gone up compared to last year. The share of residents who are reaching out to the police department has gone down compared to this time last year. So again, across the board, really positive, fairly familiar story. A quick look at the survey methodology. We were in the field for about 2 weeks from January 5th to the 19th this year. This was not a panel refresh year. We returned to the folks who responded to the survey last year first and then supplemented with some of the additionally sampled households from last year's utility refresh. And overall, we had 1,112 residents start the survey, 807 completed the full survey. Donna and I talked a little bit about the increase in survey fatigue that we've seen from residents this year in particular. And so we might want to think going forward about splitting the survey up. We've been doing this consistently enough now. We have a constant set of questions. We could really look at which ones are most likely to be affected by fielding timing and keep those in January. And then maybe we take another block of questions and split that out for August or September so that we're looking at two data points throughout the year, getting all of the data that we're used to having, reporting just once a year after the January survey, but making things a little bit less burdensome on residents as they're responding to questions in one sitting at least.
Good question.
Yes.
Of the 807, all of them were requested to fill out the survey last year as well. These are all the same people repeating.
These are largely the same people repeating. We did send, I want to say we had about a third of our invitations this year were newly sampled households, but they were sampled from the utilities list we received last year. So they're not new move-ins, but they could be new to the panel.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes. And that 807 interviews represents about a 3 percentage point margin of error. So again, looking at a pretty comprehensive, robust sample overall, despite that slight decline in overall response rates or completion rates.
Just another quick question.
Yes.
Was the survey about the same length as previous years?
Don and I talked about this. It was actually a bit shorter. So I think what we're really seeing is just survey fatigue broadly. Mm-hmm. Every customer service interaction you have, every outreach you get, I think folks have become accustomed to answering a few quick questions on their phones and being done.
Yeah.
So I think we're combating against that a little bit more than anything else.
That was the only survey feedback that I received from residents that filled out the survey.
That doesn't surprise
me.
Too long. They were over it. They were like, I did not intend to spend 19 minutes filling out a survey. I thought it would be quicker. And by the time we got through, I probably wasn't as generous as I was when I started because I was tired and I just was over it, you know. So yeah. That's what I was told too.
But the verbatim responses were pretty long too. So it's not like they were ready just to
go
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah.
They wanted to tell you how too. And
yeah, we definitely have an engaged group of residents who are responding to our surveys, which is great news, but it does mean that those interviews take a little bit longer. They have a lot to say. So we might want to look at some ways that we can adjust the methodology going forward just to make that a little bit easier, less burdensome on our respondents.
And so the ones that bailed in the middle of it, do you still count what they did answer?
Yep, all of the partial data is still included in our analysis, yes.
So make sure the first questions are the most important.
we typically start with the broadest questions, and those are sort of our key benchmarks year over year. So it works out that the things that tend to point most directly to the overall health of the city are the things that folks answer first, and then we get more specific as we go. This is just a quick look at the distribution of survey respondents. You can see we have them broken out by council district as always. We have somewhere between 140 and 200 panelists responding from each district this year. So getting into the details, overall we have 57% of residents who say the city is headed in the right direction, 27% declining to respond either way, and 15% who feel that the city is headed in the wrong direction. This don't know or unsure category has gone down a little bit from last year. So we're seeing a little bit more, again, engagement from residents, just a little bit more information proliferating. So we have an uptick in both those right and wrong direction responses relatively. When we remove that neutral category, however, we do see a decline compared to last year's ratings. So our total share of residents expressing an opinion who feel the city is headed in the right direction is at 79, which is, again, lower than we've been in most recent years. There are a couple different things that we could point to as potential causality here. Again, we tend to see higher watermarks
on even or, excuse me, odd numbered years, because we are not on the heels of a municipal election cycle. If we have refreshed the panel, that also sometimes affects whether we're getting, you know, a more optimistic share of newer residents or, you know, a less engaged share of residents. So those who are expressing strong opinions in either direction are upweighted a bit. In this case, we're really looking, I think, mostly at some longer tenured residents who have some strong feelings. But again, nothing really stands out in the open ends in terms of a shift in attitudes or quality of life overall. We're just seeing a little bit more polarity. I have been looking at our city surveys up and down the Wasatch Front this year, and I think there is just a little bit of environmental angst, or not environmental, angst that is a little bit global. So not unique to South Jordan. I'll leave it at that.
So do you think that people's concerns over federal government or state government are bleeding into these answers?
I think some of it, yeah, is trickling down or up, yeah, depending on how you look at it. I think so.
I was just thinking they probably get stuck on 104th or 114th.
At 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
That gives them time to do the survey.
I mean, I know that's the number.
That's why it took too long. Yeah. You weren't done by the time they got home.
The dip of 7 points.
You have to travel it. We just get stuck.
I know you said across the state you're seeing this.
Yeah.
Are other cities seeing a dip of 7 points? Or are they seeing more 2 points? Or
we are seeing statistically significant changes in several of the cities we're working with. So this isn't terribly surprising. Again, this is something that if we saw happening 2 years in a row, I would be concerned. Mm-hmm. But you can sort of see in the past when we've had dips or, you know, movement in that line, we have rebounded fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would be surprised if that wasn't the case. Again, we would want to just look at this data point again pretty critically next year and see whether we're rebounding or we're really seeing a downward trend. But again, reflecting on quality of life overall, we're seeing very little movement. Our average quality of life rating this year is an 81 on the 0 to 100 scale, and that is statistically tied with where we've been for the last 5 years. So no real indicators of something that would really point to a change in that sense of direction specific to the city. Overall approval ratings are quite high as usual. We have a total of 62% of residents who approve of the job the elected officials in the city are doing. And as always, we have that broken out by city council district so that you can encourage one another, engage in your rivalry. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but pretty consistent ratings overall with what we've seen in prior years. Although we do have some increases here, again, sort of bringing us back in line with where we've been. Historically, we saw a dip in several council districts last year. So sort of bouncing back to about the average of our 5-6 year trend line. There was a big spike, obviously, in 2022, which bounced down pretty quickly. So again, the average of that line is what I would focus on the most. We saw the most change in districts 1 and 2 in terms of positive movement. Districts 4's ratings went down slightly, but again, pretty consistent with overtime average ratings. When we ask residents how they feel the city compares today to 5 years ago, we have about a third of residents who say things are about the same, and 36% total who say things have improved over the last 5 years. Just 10% of residents this year say they haven't been here long enough to express an opinion either way, which again is a slightly smaller share than we've had in years past, which we would expect in a non-panel refresh year. Looking at the comparison here, so we have, again, overall, 37% when we take out that chunk of residents who declined to express an opinion, 37% of residents feel things are about the same as they were 5 years ago, 40% say that things have gotten better, and 24% feel that things have gotten some degree worse. Again, similar pattern to what we're seeing in that right direction, wrong direction question. Our share of residents who feel things are the same has gone down, but we are seeing increases on both sides of the scale there in terms of whether things have gotten better or worse. And equivalent increases at that, 4 points of change in either direction. So the balance of things, not a real different picture from what we've seen in years prior. The things that residents like most about living in South Jordan are also pretty consistent with what we've heard in the past. They love the sense of community here. They feel it's a safe place to raise a family. It's a great location that's very accessible to other things throughout the valley. The trails and recreational access are definitely highlights as well.
Can you go back?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Dustin,
I'll send you all a copy.
Would you?
Right there.
No, but there's a glare on this one.
I'll send you a copy of the presentation. And the survey. I'll email it out.
I won't take pictures. I'll wait for yours.
Overall value for the tax dollar, again, residents are expressing pretty consistent ratings overall. 70% say that things are excellent or good. And then a little bit of change within our council districts. You can see an increase in satisfaction among our District 1 residents in particular, but none of these changes are statistically significant.
Patrick's like,
I don't know.
When we ask residents whether they are likely to recommend the city to friends and family as a good place to live, we still have a strong majority here. About 9 out of 10 residents say that they would recommend the city to others. So really high quality of life overall, and really positive attitudes about the city when they're talking to their neighbors and family. Looking at some specific attributes about the city now, we asked residents how they feel the city is performing in a variety of categories. Residents give an excellent or good, or majority excellent or good ratings to the city across the board. Our most positive scores, or our highest scores here, are for providing opportunities to participate in city events, providing a safe community, and creating accessible recreation. So really high marks there, more than a third of residents giving an excellent rating to the city for each of those goals or priorities. And then when it comes to establishing orderly but not burdensome laws, developing reliable utilities and transportation, and communicating effectively with residents, we have about a quarter of residents expressing excellent ratings in each of those categories. Again, no statistically significant changes from prior years here, really positive marks across the board. Long-term growth remains the area where residents have the most concern, but really, again, we're looking at a majority who are still giving an excellent or good rating to the city there. So for it, that being the highest area of tension, 57% of residents still feel the city is responding well. When we ask residents what they see as the most important issue facing the city today, again, really consistent themes over time here, growth, traffic, housing, infrastructure, all of these things that we know are intricately connected to one another. Residents are feeling it and continue to express their concerns here about traffic and congestion especially. And when we ask them what they see as the most pressing issues in the next 3 to 5 years, we see a consistent story as well. So growth being the largest, most frequently mentioned word here, traffic, housing, infrastructure, water, also top of mind issues, again, related to growth.
Even growth in West Jordan, 90th South is not in our city. Traffic comment on about 90th South.
We ask residents what they see as the most important aspects of life in the city for South Jordan to address, and which is the least important. Overall, we see the most emphasis on traffic flow. Our net importance there, so the difference between the share of residents who say it's the most important and the share who say it's the least important, is the highest at a net of 24% of residents who feel that it is the most important, despite those folks who say it's the least important thing to address. 28% overall saying that it's the most important issue to them. 18% of residents say that quality of life generally is the thing that they would most like the city to focus on. Pretty consistently high quality of life ratings, so that feels more like a call to maintenance than anything else. Safety as well is certainly not something that folks are expressing concerns about, but these are the things that really contribute to the sense of community and the things that residents enjoy about the city. So keeping those things top of mind, maintaining that quality overall would be where residents are pointing in that case. The things that residents are least interested in the city focusing on include housing options. Housing options, I think at this point, is as close to development or building or density as we can say in a survey without sparking too many four-letter words. So we're seeing that frustration there. Public transit, also not a high priority for residents. And then economic development and environmental concerns relative to these other issues are less important to residents for the city to be focusing on. Our city service ratings this year, fire and emergency medical and garbage collection are tied for the number one service ratings with 86 on that 0 to 100 scale, respectively. Police coming in third with an 80 on that 0 to 100 scale, parks at 79, and then a three-way tie for the fifth highest score for city parks, community events, and drinking water. Again, majority of city services here receive ratings above 70, and then our lowest rated city services are city code enforcement at a 63 and planning, zoning, and building at 58.
It always gets pretty dumb.
It really does, and I think it just comes down to residents are going to blame growth on planning and zoning, and I'm so sorry.
Can you go back?
Yes, ours.
It said fire and emergency medical. Where's the police in here?
Police is third there.
Third.
Sorry.
Xander Green, in fact.
You're good. Okay, good. That's really not our, I mean, that's really good for our police to be at number. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
this is amazing. I'm so glad our city loves our police.
Yeah, residents are very happy.
Because the firemen, they get accolades all
the
time.
There was one year.
But the police tend to get dogged on, and that makes me happy.
And
especially that it's green.
Yeah, well, that was happenstance, but yes. I think the thing that has been consistent about South Jordan City Service ratings over the years is that our emergency responders and trash collection are always at the top of the list. And those top three sort of vie for the highest score back and forth. But seeing those scores above 80 on that 0 to 100 scale and consistently above 80 on that scale, I think is a really positive commendation to those departments. We asked residents if they had any comments they would like to share about experiences with city services. And these comments in the past have been so scattered that we didn't feel a word cloud or even verbatims were particularly helpful in illustrating the themes. So we've been doing a little bit more response categorization using some AI tools. And so we have here some sentiment analysis of the comments related to each city service or department that residents may have interacted with. You can see the largest share of responses about city services came from contacting or experiences with attitudes about comments about planning and zoning, followed by the police. So we have 56 and 40 comments there respectively. But overall positive sentiment analysis where we have a readable sample of residents for most services, where we start to see a more negative downturn is looking at sort of the things that fall below snow removal. Mulligans, we had three comments total, so I don't know that I even count that.
Happy to hear that, because I was like, that is bad. That looks terrible.
But if the two angry people
is two people,
So don't worry too much about that.
That's good.
Where we start to see,
because they couldn't get a tea time in January.
There's only two comments. Is that right? One positive, one negative.
Yeah,
police got 40.
About not seeing tea time in January.
Planning's only got 50.
increased. Yeah, so we start to see again just some of the attitudes about.
Too. Can somebody tell us what it? How
can
many
you move
comments
that square?
Were on code enforcement?
55
Oh, I see, and I missed that.
That's right.
Thank
there.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah, so and keeping in mind, we'll get to the communication section in a bit, but city code enforcement is the area where residents were most likely to reach out this year in addition to comments about public works or reaching out to the city about public works related issues. So I think this is becoming more of a, frankly, a catch-all category for folks that are frustrated about something in their neighborhoods. I would be very interested to know if the sentiment or the type or the type of contact that the city is receiving in city code enforcement is shifted at all over time. But I think mostly just because this is a new lens for these comments, we'll be paying more attention to what this looks like now and moving forward.
I also say that the departments get the verbatim questions and they'll go through them and they'll do their search for each of the departments and divisions and they'll do their find the police or find the water and they'll highlight theirs and go in and react and do their best to respond to what those questions are. Lots of them are like the street lights out on my road or something. Yeah.
So looking at communication patterns and residents' preferences, overall, we find that most residents are currently getting their information from the city either through direct emails or city newsletters specifically in a digital format. We also see that residents prefer to primarily receive their information through emails or the city newsletter, whether that is digital or in print. So a lot of value there in the city newsletter overall. Pretty consistent story over time here as well. There is a pretty strong cohort there, about 1 in 10 residents who would prefer to receive text message alerts from the city and have that as a primary source of information. So potentially an opportunity to engage with residents more directly there. We asked residents specifically about the tenor or cadence of communication they would like to receive specifically for emails, whether they would prefer one monthly email or emails a few times a month about specific topics. One monthly email was overwhelmingly the preference, but we do have residents who would be interested in, about a quarter of residents who would be interested in a more sporadic or more spaced out sort of chunked email messages. The residents who were saying other primarily were pointing to less frequent email updates or just specific mailing lists, depending on what their niche interests in communicating with the city focused on. Most residents feel that the city is communicating an adequate amount, so that's a great sign. About 2/3 of residents say that they would prefer to receive the amount of communication they're receiving from the city now. We do have a few residents, about 1/3, who say that some degree less communication would be fine. Very few residents this year saying that they would prefer to receive much more. So a good indicator there that really we're striking the right chord and engaging with residents appropriately overall. And overwhelmingly, residents find the information that they receive from the city useful. We asked residents a few questions about their interactions with the city website as well. Most residents say that they're visiting the city website to pay a utility bill or connect utilities, registering for various programs, garbage can repairs, or generally reporting a problem, or also tasks or goals that residents had for about 1/4 to 1/3 of residents visiting the city website. Ordering a neighborhood dumpster, again, about 1/4 of residents, and then smaller shares of residents visiting the website for dog licensing, reserving a facility, applying for permits, etc. Overall, each of these tasks or goals that led residents to the website received positive ratings, mostly excellent across the board here. The only areas where we see any dissatisfaction are the more sporadic tasks that residents are turning to the city website for. We have a pretty normal distribution or a bimodal distribution there, actually, with residents either being very satisfied, they were able to find answers to their questions very quickly, or a handful of residents who were not satisfied because there was not an immediate answer or solution to their particular concern. No real surprises here, generally speaking. Sorry. We have about two-thirds of residents who are not currently following the city on social media accounts at all, but among those residents who are, Facebook is the most common platform where residents are engaging. About 15% of residents say they follow the city on Instagram, and just 4% of residents are following the city on X. It's okay, we're not going to be using X anymore. So, well, okay. Those residents who are on X find the content useful. Really, residents are across the board, if they're following the city's social media accounts, are highly satisfied with the level of engagement or information they're getting there. Again, overall outreach to the city, those residents who are seeking services or reaching out for information or to file a complaint, is at an all-time low, consistent with where we were in 2025. Just 31% of our survey respondents said that they reached out directly to contact the city in the past year. And primarily those outreach categories were for public works, code enforcement, or utility billing. Again, a decrease in the share of residents who were reaching out for police-related issues this year compared to last year. And most of residents' outreach to the city was able to be addressed in the first contact. About 1 in 5 residents required 2 or multiple contacts, respectively. Just 1 in 10 residents who reached out to the city said that their request or question was not answered. Again, we included filing complaints in this category of reasons residents might have reached out to the city, so not particularly surprising there either. When we ask residents what modes of contact when they are reaching out to the city that they're aware of, contact us, so the sort of portal on the website is top of the list there at 45%. Reporting a problem, 32% of residents say that they're aware of that particular channel for their disposal. Submitting a code enforcement or complaint and submitting a police report online, about 17% of residents each say that they're aware of those channels of outreach specifically. About 1 in 3 residents wasn't aware that any of these specific channels were available to them. And again, about half of residents haven't used any of these channels. But the contact us form was the most commonly used, and then report a problem coming in at 14% there. And overall, residents continue to feel that they were treated with courtesy and professionalism by the city. Again, these numbers have shifted from prior years. We're at 80 now, where we were at 83 last year, down from our high of 89. That was pretty consistent for prior years there. I'm not sure what to make of this other than that share of residents who is reaching out to the city is dwindling, and therefore the folks who are reaching out and responding to these questions are likely to be more polarized. So I think as we see a smaller cohort of residents reaching out, they're reaching out about problems that are more difficult to address. They can't just be easily resolved on the website with a couple clicks. So I think that's likely what we're seeing here, more than an overall shift in customer service or professionalism. I think it's likely just the problems that are leading them to contact the city are more complicated, more difficult to resolve, maybe producing slightly less warm and fuzzy resolutions.
Thank you. Tamara, go ahead.
I wasn't raising my hand, I was doing this.
Okay.
But I would agree, like, they're all going online, they're calm, they solve the problem. If it doesn't work, then they're elevated, and now they're calling the city.
Yeah.
So they're more triggered.
Yeah, as we're seeing this number continue to decline, I'm not surprised that we're seeing more emotional responses to those interactions. Looking at residents' attitudes towards the urban center development project, Downtown Daybreak, we have seen an uptick in the share of residents who are aware of the development, which is great because it exists now. It's fully functional. I'm glad
we're aware of it. I don't understand how we have 17% who are not aware of it. That, I don't understand that.
They might not still think it's in our city.
Unfortunately.
We call it urban center development. Is that the word that was on
the
street?
We tried to stay away from not calling it Downtown Daybreak.
Well, then they're probably clueless.
That could
be
part of it.
What is your urban center development? They don't know what it is.
There was an explanation that went ahead of the question.
Yes.
So they knew it was the area around the ballpark and all?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so we gave residents the same preamble that they've seen over the past 2 years. But in the question itself, it just asks whether they were aware of the Downtown Daybreak Urban Center development project.
You used the word Downtown Daybreak.
We did specifically in that question. Yep.
Yep.
Still
in the ballpark.
Shocking.
When we asked residents what concerns they have about the area and the development project, traffic was the most common one, and we've seen this in years past as well. Housing, crime, parking, sort of all related to the increase in traffic and congestion to the area. When we ask residents how they expect the development of Downtown Daybreak to affect the city's quality of life or aspects of life going forward, overall, this is seen as a huge boon to economic development and quality of life. About two-thirds of residents say that they expect Downtown Daybreak to have a positive impact on their quality of life in the city. Similarly, 62% of residents expect that it'll have a positive impact on public transit, and 53% say that it will be an improvement or have a positive impact on infrastructure in the city. Traffic flow is the one area where we have a majority of residents saying that they would expect this development to have a negative impact. But you can see over the past 3 years that we've been asking these questions, the share of residents who feel that Downtown Daybreak will have a positive impact on their quality of life has gone up 8 percentage points. That's the only statistically significant change we see here. But it is notable that in such a short period of time, we went from still a majority, but 59% to 67% of residents saying that they feel that this will have a positive impact on their quality of life, I think is a really impressive turn of public sentiment towards something that, you know, maybe there was a little bit more hesitation at first. It's really seen as a positive impact on the city now. And that concludes our whirlwind tour for this year. I'm happy to answer any follow-up questions. There is, of course, a lot more information in that top line, and we condensed things for this presentation for the sake of time, but happy to address any follow-ups that might come up if you all are interested in reaching out. Anybody have any questions for Kyrene?
Thank you so much
for your time.
Thanks so much. Okay, I am now going to ask for a motion to recess our City Council study meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. Can I get that motion?
So moved.
And I need a second.
A second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Right. Thank you. All right, we are back in our open meeting. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.